Hello. Okay. Could you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Juan Esteban Arellano from Embudo. I was born and raised here.
Could you speak about what the... Or you just wrote a book, or translated a book. Could you just tell a little bit about that?
Well, the book that you're referring to is... It's called Obra de Agricultura. It was written by Gabriel Alonso de Herrera in Spain in 1513, and it had never been translated into the English language. So when I first came upon that book back in 1990, at that time I was doing some oral history interviews with old mayordomos in the Taos area. That's when they were starting with their adjudication process. And I realized that the interviews that I was conducting at that time were very similar to the work that appeared in that 1513 version of Gabriel Alonso de Herrera, and I really became interested in it, and I immediately thought of that it would be good to translate it, and because I couldn't find any copies of it in the English language. And then in 97, that which is 10 years now, I went to Spain, to Madrid, and I looked for it all over. I think I probably went to every single bookstore in Madrid and in Sevilla while I was there, and I couldn't find it. I went to an agricultural bookstore in Madrid, and they said that the agricultural ministry of Spain was going to reissue a new edition, but that it wasn't due until about 4 or 5 months after I was there. So this friend that I had met there, Pilar Lopez, she told me, well, as soon as a book comes out, I'll buy it and I'll send you a copy, and which she did. And I started looking for funding to translate it, because in 98 was going to be the 400th anniversary of Don Juan de Oñate, a settlement in the Española Valley. And we were able to get some money. At that time, I was working as director of the Oñate Center in Alcalde. We got some money, started working on the translation. And we hired some scholars to work on it, and three of them, and then one of them, just before he got started, he said that he wasn't going to have the time. So I also then started doing the translation, and three of us worked on the original translation. Then we hired another translator kind of to clean it up, to make it more contemporary. But I couldn't find any publisher. And since then, I lost my position at the Oñate Center due to the politics of Rio Arriba County, but we were able to transfer the money to the National Hispanic Cultural Center in Albuquerque, and they were very interested in doing the book. We're going to do it as a two-volume set, you know, but again, due to the money situation, they weren't able to come up with the money for the publishing, and I was always looking for a publisher, and it so happened that I met Gib Smith, who had just bought Ancient City Press there in Albuquerque. And when I met with him and I showed him, he told me to take the manuscript so he could read it, and I took it to him, and immediately he called me. He said, let's do it. So we started working on it. It was really put on fast track. We started last January, and it came out in October, but it was still a lot of work. We had to do my work with a wonderful editor there from Santa Fe, and I don't know how many hours we were working, it seemed like on a daily basis, to getting it ready for publication. Then we found an artist, Brian Romero from Chimayo. He's a young artist, and he did the illustrations for the book. And I had also contacted Ed Sandoval from Taos for to use one of his paintings for the cover, and it was used, but it was put on the back cover. And I'm very satisfied with the whole book. You know, I think it turned out a lot better than what I had even hoped for. And so far, the reviews have been very positive. You know, people that have read it, because it's the first book on agriculture actually that made its way to this part of the world. You know, it came to Mexico, and from there up the Camino Real, undoubtedly into New Mexico. We have not found a copy of it in New Mexico, and partly I think it's because the archives were burned, and also during the Pueblo Revolt, a lot of the books were lost or burned. But there's a copy dating from the late 1700s in the Mission of Santa Barbara in California. So that tells me that book had to have been here. And not only that, but just by what I was saying at the beginning, you know, from the oral history interviews that I've done with people, you know, you can tell that they had to have been familiar with that particular book. And in fact, a friend from Tezuka, Louis Hena, after he read the book, he told me, you know, it's I couldn't believe that a lot of the way we still do agriculture here in Tezuka is reminiscent of what the book talks about. Well, that's another indication that book had to have been here, or the people that came here were familiar with the book. Because I think that the friars that came with a Spanish crown were the ones that were in charge of teaching agriculture based on the model from the Iberian Peninsula. And I say that because the Spanish had very little to do with agriculture, you know. And I think that's a point that needs to be clarified. What this book talks more about is the Roman traditions, and then mostly the Arab traditions. The Christians were and still are not very adept at working the land. They don't see any redemption, I think, in really getting their hands dirty with the soil. It's always the meek and the humble, the poor, who work the land. And that's still the way it is in this country. That's why they always have to bring in immigrants to do the majority of the agricultural work. So I think this book, it's a reflection more of the Arab way of working the land, because prior to the Arabs' arrival in the Iberian Peninsula in 711, it took about 45 acres of land to be able to, for one family of four to survive. After the Arabs came into the Iberian Peninsula and introduced the acequia system of irrigation, about 1 acre or four people could survive on 1 acre of land, which is a big difference. And that is a model that came into Mexico, and there it was taught to like the Tlaxcaltecan Indians, who were the ones that also came under contract with the crown into New Mexico, because the Tlaxcaltecans were never subjugated by the Spanish. They were able to deal with them at the same level and enter into contracts with them. And they were the ones that were contracted by the crown to come into northern Mexico and eventually into New Mexico, and to lay out the acequias and the agricultural landscape that we know today. And that's mostly based on the work that a friend of mine from Mexico City, Dr. Tomas Martinez Aldana, has done on the Tlaxcaltecan Indians and their influence in terms of the agriculture. That's what, you know, I want to clarify, that the Spanish really had very little. You know, the only thing they had is that it was the Spanish crown who sponsored the people that came here, you know. But the Spanish, you hardly find anything that they really contributed to agriculture.
And when you said the Tlaxcalan people, are they that? Is that the Mexicas? Is that
no? The Tlaxcaltecas are. They're a totally different Indian tribe. You know, they were the Aztecas. They were never conquered by the Aztecas. You know, the Tlaxcaltecas are probably the only tribe from. Well, they lived around what today is Mexico City. You know, but they were. They were a totally separate type of tribe, you know. Mm-hmm. Though the language that they spoke was Nahuatl. But the Tlaxcaltecas were very astute people. They were great agriculturalists. And 400 families came with Don Diego, with Don Juan de Oñate when he came here in 1598. Versus only 129 families of peninsulars, and criollos, and mestizos that that came with him. So you can tell that there were a lot more. But history has a way of being told in black and white. You know, it's always been the Spanish versus the Indians. And the way I see the history in northern New Mexico, there's a lot of shades of gray. So it's not that simple that the Spanish and the Indians, you know, they were, even Don Juan de Oñate, I think, was also a mestizo, and a lot of the people that came with him were all already mixed bloods, you know. Mm-hmm. And they were not all from what today is Spain, you know. There were some from the Canary Islands, there were others from Greece, they were from France, you know, from all over Europe were people that came into this part of the world.